ministry of music and all its aspects of it. And remember, your life is a song of praise to God this week, and He helps us praise His name. So keep those thanks going to the Lord. Once upon a time, there was a man named Joe Idol who started every day the same way, conscientiously and religiously. Before he went out the door, he would get a pretty large rabbit foot that he treasured and he put it in his pocket. He got a four-leaf clover that he found and put it in a nice metal case. The thing was kind of delicate, so he put it in a metal case, put a chain around his neck, and carried that four-leaf clover with him wherever he went. And he was quite a sight to behold. But he claimed if he took those with him wherever he went, that he would be blessed and have good fortune. And soon, however, the rabbit's foot and the four-leaf clover became a source of great anxiety and emotional burden to him, something that didn't bring him peace. It gave him all kind of churning in his heart. Joe began to ask himself questions like this. What if I carry the rabbit foot in the wrong pocket? What if I drop the rabbit foot? Would I be still smiled upon? And would I still have some good things come into my life? Am I displaying the four-leaf clover predominantly enough? And if I don't, then what will happen? When he mistakenly left his rabbit foot at home, Joe really had all kind of thoughts. He had a pending sense of guilt and dread and doom come upon him. And what he really feared, in addition to all that, was when he came across another rabbit foot holder out and about, and they would ask him, "Did you have your rabbit foot with you today?" And he would say no. He faced the scorn of the human covenant of the rabbit foot holders, and he was very down about that. Later, being very weary and overburdened by his own faith that he had created, he turned to Christ, the one true living God. And for the first time, he felt free. He felt a friendship with God, that God loved him and cared about him. And he knew that Christ would bring changes to his life every day. He looked forward to heaven as a gift that he couldn't earn or deserve. But Joe's old habits were hard to break. He began to treat Christ, the King of Kings, like he treated those old little idols that he had. He began to ask the Lord after a prayer time, "Lord, did I say that the right way? If I didn't speak to you, Lord, the right way, will blessings still come? Will you still smile upon me?" After reading his Bible, he would say, "I wonder if I read my Bible enough. What if what God really wanted to tell me was five verses beyond where I stopped?" Oh, no. He began to feel very anxious and heavy with even his newfound relationship with Jesus. God tells us in His Word, in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 41, that when people created gods for themselves in the Old Testament, they would carry them around and really rely on them on a daily basis to bring blessing based on pretty much what they did for the false god. And God's Word says this in Isaiah chapter 41, "The images carried about are burdensome, and they're a burden for the weary." And I've always asked myself, and often asked others in their relationship with Christ, is your relationship with Christ something that gives you encouragement and a sense of God's love and help in your life? Or is it something that weighs you down? Perhaps this morning you came with even mixed motives to worship or communion, time of communion with the Lord. Was it something that you had to attain? Was it a burden heavy to bear? Or is it a time where you're refreshed by Christ Himself? And God would certainly have us be refreshed by Him. Haddon Robinson, who's a Bible teacher from Gordon-Conwell Seminary, also does the radio Bible class on the radio, recently made some comments about this Isaiah 41 passage, about people carrying around their false gods. He said this: anytime people didn't follow the one true God, they were weighed down by these false gods. They huffed and they puffed. It was really a tough life, trying to please gods of their own imagination. He said they negotiated with their gods all the time. They said, God, if we're good to you, would you be good to us? And I hope we're good enough to you so that you also be good to us. They would say, Lord, little God, if we scratch your back, will you scratch our back? And that relationship became one in which they thought they were kind of carrying the ball in. They were in control of everything. But God would tell the people in Isaiah something different, to put down the weight of maybe the own religion that they had made in their mind or their heart. And it really became a pain to them, a burden to them, to put those false idols down and to know that instead of carrying them, God would carry us. He says to them, I have carried you since you were conceived. Since we were just little, not even showing up yet. I've carried you since you were conceived. God gives these promises to us from His Word this morning, and to sense His care, His holding for you. There are children being held in the sanctuary here, nursery. Maybe you're close enough to someone today. You're kind of holding them up in prayer. God's doing that for you. God tells us this. He says, I carry you. I carry you. You don't have to carry me. I sustain you. I rescue you. He says, from the time of your birth to the time of your gray hair. Some of us hit that when we were 30. God carried us from the time of birth to the time of gray hair. I will carry you. And God would like to do that for us today. The late James Kennedy, a preacher, would often say this about world religions. He says, really, there's only two religions in the whole world. When you think about it. The first religion says this, we work so we could be at peace with God. We huff and we puff. We do the best we can. And we say, maybe, just maybe, we'll find peace with God at that point. The second religion is much different. First one's the rabbit foot religion. The second religion is the one God reveals in the Bible. God does the work so that we could be at peace with Him. And then we begin to work with God. As someone who saves when we can't save. Someone who makes us holy when we can't make ourselves holy. Most of us struggle to get rid of the first religion. That's why letters like the book of Galatians are in the Bible. And passages in Isaiah. If you still have a rabbit foot religion, or maybe you're carrying Jesus around and kind of making things up about Him as you go, God would like to be a blessing to you, not a burden. I heard a story about Ted Turner a while back. He's the founder of PBS television network. And he was given an award one time because he gave a substantial amount of money to the United Nations humanitarian relief for hunger. And it was a very kind thing he did. I think it's $70 million. And in receiving the award, he gave a speech of acceptance. And a sad thing happened during the speech. He looked up to heaven, and both with sadness and anger in his voice, kind of shook his hand and said, are you happy with me now, Dad? Did I do good enough to make you proud? Perhaps he had a bad relationship with his dad, and he's expressed in his own life a real uncertainty about God and whether God cares about anybody at all, you know. Is your prayer life sometimes like the words of Ted Turner? Are you happy with me now, Jesus? Did I do well enough to make you proud? God's word tells us in the Bible words of reassurance and love. He says in the book of Jeremiah, I've loved you with an everlasting love. If there's strength and love and security that we'll feel in our life, it'll be from God Himself and His initiative coming at us before while we were yet sinners, while we were, you know, at our worst possible moment. His love is coming at us to set us free, bring changes from the inside out. There's an old bubblegum song that came to my mind during the sermon. You never know what will come to your mind. The words of the song go like this. Do you love me? The guy singing to wife or girlfriend, do you love me? Do you love me now that I can dance? Some of you may have sung that song. to God, we don't say, Lord, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me now that I can, you fill in the blank, do my best? Now that I've had a good week of obedience for a change, God's love meets us at the cross where we say, I'll take Jesus. If God is for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? Why should we be against ourselves by carrying a false idol around or an idol of our own making? In Isaiah, God said, you know, you speak to those idols, they won't speak back. They won't be able to help you. Perhaps later on, Joe Idol exchanged his rabbit's foot and his four-leaf clover for, in a sense of desperation, his American Express card and his, I have a MasterCard here. And I speak to that MasterCard. I say, will you help me? Will you give me a good week? I cry out to this thing. Ultimately, it doesn't help me. If I'm not careful, it adds burdens to my life that are too heavy to carry. And the bank tells me so. The burdens that we would put down and say, we found a trust in the one true God. He's trustworthy and true. And we can awaken my soul and sing of Him who died for us. Loved by God. A life of thanks. A life of change from the inside out. To awaken to God's smile upon us this morning through His Son. Would He invite you to the most important meal you'll ever take part in? He certainly does this morning because of Christ. And when we begin to obey God and trust Him, you know, we put ourselves in a position not to earn God's love, but to experience the love that is there. He is love. In Him, He's light there, and there's no darkness in Him. A whole group of Christians in the first century started off with God's love and knew heaven as a gift, and then they tried to earn His love later on. It was the church in Galatians. We're like that a lot. We say, Lord, thanks for Your love, but I'll earn it, and I'll maintain a relationship from here on in. Paul says, look, having begun with God, having begun with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain certain things by your human effort? Our faith and effort are a part of who we are, but they don't commend us to God any more than if we had no faith or had no effort to grow. Even faith is a gift. God would let us know this morning, through His Son, He's pleased with us. Through His Son alone, He'd be pleased with us. And Watchman Nee tells a story of a young Christian coming to his home and saying, well, I feel really anxious in my relationship with God. I think I'm falling out of relationship with Him. No matter what I do, I can't seem to be faithful enough. Can't seem to be good enough. Watchman Nee said, you know, you're in my house. You see my dog over there? I see the dog. He said, that dog is a perfectly obedient dog. When I say sit, it sits. It never messes inside anymore. When I say come, it comes. I have great delight in that dog. In the next room is my 3-year-old daughter. She's growing. She makes a mess of something every day. Upstairs is my 17-year-old son. He goes out of bounds every day. He's loud. He talks back sometimes. But he says, you know, who enjoys the close relationship with me? Who is a joint heir with me? Who is an heir of mine? And who's a part of my family? And who really do I love the most? I thank God for the dog. But my dear children are the ones I am committed to bless and working with all their life. And he said, so you also, not through your perfection, but through what Christ has done, are at peace with God through Him. Somebody we know and love this week has obeyed God 100%. Let's just think of that. Someone we know and love has obeyed God 100%. In fact, he said, I always do the will of the Father. And someone we know and love had a perfect prayer life this week. I mean, they were always connecting with the Father. And they, in fact, the Bible says they lived to intercede for us. Someone we know and love was totally committed to the work of gospel sharing. In fact, he did it faithfully all the time because he came to seek and save the lost. And that dear one and dear loved one is Jesus. And when we put our trust in him, or we have a connection with him, we're complete. We're complete. He begins to teach us to follow him. And we have a life where he carries us. And we put down the burdens that perhaps we are carrying. The Bible says, once a good king invited people to a banquet. Many couldn't come because they were very busy really running their own lives, ultimately. And so the king said this, okay, here's what you do. Go out and find the poor, the blind, and the crippled, and tell them to come in for this banquet. And this morning, spiritually speaking, if you feel quite disabled, if you feel poor or blind or crippled, know that Christ would invite you to his banquet, to communion. Because there he sets the table for us. He provides the body and the blood at Calvary. He provides the host being himself. He provides the cup and the bread as a memorial to him. And he says, come, those who are thirsty. Let the Lord carry you this week in the new covenant he provides. He carries us to faith and obedience. He also carries us all the way to heaven. Might we rejoice in his strong arms today. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for the gift of your love, your sustaining grace, not earned or deserved, but certainly celebrated and happily followed in terms of who you are. We pray that as we draw close to you during the time of communion, would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. We pray for any burden we have, Father, whether the burdens of life or the burdens of just the idolatry that we're prone to, in which sense of healing in our hearts. We especially pray for those who are of a broken heart, perhaps losing loved ones. We remember the Himmler family, sustain them. For those who need your wisdom for medical procedures, we think of Joanne Irwin. Be wisdom for her as doctors decide what to do and how to help. We pray the same for Chuck Stanley, for Bill Sarber, for George Kemp, for Ruth Long as she approaches surgery. We pray for folks who serve overseas, for Doug and Naomi Ord, Rachel Wilson, that they would feel you carrying them today throughout their ministries. And Father, in our silence, silent prayers, hear a word of thanks to you for what you mean to us. Hear a word of asking for help that we know that we turn to you about in trust and confidence today. Hear our silent prayers.